is Cora, and today I'm going to be doing the 1 minute of prayer. So I felt that God had just put on my heart to pray for thankfulness. I know for me and a lot of people, it's hard to be thankful when you live in a world that's just like so full of negativity and hurt. And I'm also going to read it off my notes so it goes a lot smoother. Okay, so let's bow our heads. So, dear Heavenly Father, I just wanted to thank you for getting everyone here safely and everyone online to join and listen to the message today. I thank you for all the blessings you give each and every one of us in our daily lives. God, I pray that you can help us be positive in every situation, even if it seems like there is no hope. Thank you, God, for all the growth that you have brought this church community, and I pray that you can each give us a deeper understanding of who you are and help us reach others with your truth. Father, please forgive us for all the times that we complain and help us be content with what you have graciously given us. Father, help us all to be thankful in every circumstance that we go through. And if we don't understand why something is happening, then help us put trust in you that you will guide us through everything and anything. You are a good, patient, forgiving, kind God. And thank you for all that you give us each and every day. Amen.
I love this 1 minute of prayer. Oh my gosh, and I love that we have all generations do it. Way to go, Cora. We have been doing 1 minute of prayer between announcements and worship for 3-ish months. And Kate prayed last week, and she just wanted to come up and give a little update from what we prayed last Sunday just a week ago.
So last week we prayed for the visa green card process for Celso and Helen Braga. And those things are happen like electronically. And so the first step, the most difficult step in this process was actually issued on Sunday last week. And so the most difficult, there's still 3 more like processes. And so there's still more to pray for, but the most difficult one to get actually came through last Sunday. So I just had to tell you because it's major. So thank you and keep praying.
Way to go. So now on to announcements. So this Sunday, we have this lovely celebration service. We're going to stay for a potluck after church, so please feel free to stay. We will have more than enough food. And we actually are launching a new app, and Karen's going to teach everybody that would like to figure out how to put it on their phone after the service. So it's really going to be very slick. If you have a prayer request, literally you can just hit the button on your phone. It's going to go out automatically to everybody that's on the prayer team. There's not going to be a huge delay. It's going to just be very slick. So please stay and let Karen do some edumacation for us on that. We have a joint Good Friday service on Friday, the Friday before Easter. We're going to do that with Living Water Church. Jill and Craig and Isaac and Vishal are the pastors at Living Water, so they're going to do a joint teaching and guide us through a Good Friday service. It will be at Living Water at 6:30, so please join us. And then bring all your peeps with you to church on Sunday at 10 for an awesome Easter message. We have an open worship coming up May 22nd that Karen will be leading. So open worship is a very informal way, if you have any interest at all in finding out anything about worship, whether it's singing, playing an instrument, what the heck do you do, how hard is it, all of those questions. It's just a very good, fun, informal way to do that together, and there will be pizza if that will encourage you to, you know, sign up. And then starting today through Easter, we are participating with a week of prayer, and there's some information in your bulletin. It does start today, but how awesome that we can partner with other churches and have 24 hours every minute of prayer from now until Easter. So let's pray, and then we will jump into our message. So Jesus, we thank you that this week is all about how you died for us and how you were raised. And everything that you did on the cross, everything that you said in the years of ministry that you had, culminated in you dying on the cross and being resurrected 3 days later. God, we thank you that in that story, everything that you are and everything that you said is true, and that help, that would help us believe more and have faith in deeper ways this year. God, we just thank you for this this morning. We thank you for every deposit that you will put into us through the teaching, through the testimonies, through the worship. God, just open our hearts, open our ears to receive from you today. In Jesus' name.
Good morning. It's going to be a fun one. We're going to have lots of juggling of messages and testimonies and prayers. And we're coming to the last Sunday of our prayer series that we've been going through. And what we discovered is that Jesus' life was so filled with prayer as we went through the Gospel of Luke. And to the point where the key to his successfully fulfilling his Father's will for him was, and his mission was to seek and save the lost, that was only possible because he himself, Jesus Christ the Lord, prayed. And so we begin this year with this 13-week series asking questions like, what is prayer? Why pray? How to pray, things like this, right? And we wanted for us to be equipped to understand the answers to those questions. What happens even when God doesn't seem to be answering our prayer? And so we had 13 weeks also of life groups. So there was the Sunday prayer, then there'd be the life group where we got to learn a little more. We got to practice those prayers. And the preaching team would write a study for each one of those aspects of prayer. And people were finding them so helpful in their journey and growing. And testimonies that you're going to hear some of the testimonies that we decided, let's put those studies as resources on our website. So you can go. And so there's a new pull-down tab called Resources, and you can find all 13 of these studies there, and they will be able to help you grow and practice your prayer. Even if you haven't been here, you can listen to the sermons or go straight to the studies. They'll help you even teach others. New Crossing Church is all about equipping people in their journey of being disciples with God, right? Amen? And so please use these, and some have already been using them as their devotional times. They make great devotions, so you're encouraged to use those. And you can find them on www.newcrossing.org, simple enough. So let's pray, and then let's begin looking at this morning, looking at overview of what God's been doing and teaching us. So Father, we bring ourselves before you in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus, we invite your spirit into our hearts, into our thoughts and minds. Lord, we want to be those who had ears to hear, hearts to see. And thank you for demonstrating in your life on earth, not just that you love us by being here, even that you have called us to be with you in life, not just then, but now. Not just on Sundays, but all week long, wherever we are, we can live life with you. But thank you that you called us to model your life of prayer. And let us this morning even recapture, be encouraged, learn something new as we close this series. But what we will not do, Jesus, is close our prayers with the end of this series, but may they be empowered by your Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, amen. All right, what is prayer? What did we learn when we looked at that? Well, one thing is, that was a simple question to answer because right back in Genesis 4, verse 26, after the fall of Adam and Eve, what we learned is that prayer is a story of people calling upon the Lord. And I call it a story because prayer is essential to the relationship we're going to have with God. And we hear that phrase, those who call upon the Lord, even in the New Testament in Acts, where there's these crazy men and women filled with love for God and power of the Spirit doing things. And they became known, we read in Acts, as, yeah, you know, those that call upon the Lord. So that is the identifier of one who would call themselves a disciple of Jesus Christ. We even hear this on David's own lips. You know, the giant killer who killed Goliath and became king. We even hear this on his own lips. So let's begin with our first passage this morning in 1 Chronicles 16:8. And it says this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Do you see that? Call upon the Lord. Call upon his name, I mean. And so we see right there that that's the definition of prayer. Prayer is so simple, a child could do it, and so profound that an old guy like me can keep learning more. And so prayer is simple but profound. And so to equip and encourage your prayer life, we used a triangle, call it the prayer triangle, to demonstrate that there's three dimensions of prayer that we can find in the scriptures. And so we have the upward prayer, which is our prayers that we're going to meet the Lord. Our focus of our prayers are on him. Then our prayers come down to the right side of the triangle where the prayers go inward and we petition him. We confess our sins and we pray for ourselves and our church, because we now have an identity as God's family. And then the prayers can move outward to the right side of the left side of the triangle. And that's where our prayers move outward. So in this, there's kind of three focuses we saw. And so I'll show another triangle with the words devotional, transformational, and missional. I think we have that one. Do we, Scott? So upward prayer is devotional, meaning it's intimate. The passion of upward prayer is to enter into communion with the Lord. We not just we seek answers, which is usually how we pray, Lord, I need help, I need answers, but we meet with him in communion, and communion is simply a spiritual intimate conversation that we continually have with the Lord. And so that's our upward prayers. Now, the inward prayers are transformational. And what I mean that is prayer is more than, God, change our circumstances. But it's transformational in, Lord, change me, right? And so, though God can answer our prayers and does so often, he always answers our prayers, maybe not exactly in the way we want, but he does answer them. Our hearts, our thoughts, our attitudes matter more to the Lord than even what we accomplish for him. Do you believe that? Sometimes we think Christianity is God's really watching what we're doing for him. But what we learn in these prayer series is that he loves who we are. He loves our character. And he wants to make us more and more and more. How much more? More in the image of his son. Now, outward prayer has to be missional, because we cannot pray upward in a prayer without the Lord giving us his heart for the lost. And so our burden for the lost must move our prayers outward to a mission that is right where you live. Your mission isn't just in the nations. Your mission is where your home is. Your mission is where you work. Your mission is where you play. Your mission is where you go to school. We all have a mission. Now, this is not a formula, meaning you may some days only find yourself praying one or two of these things. And they don't have to be in a particular order. Jesus, we saw in Jesus' own life, him praying these three dimensions to this prayer. Even on the cross, we find him praying outwardly. We find him in the garden praying inwardly. The Lord's Prayer, you can find all these dimensions even with the Lord's Prayer that he taught us. So the question is, where is your prayer triangle skewed? Is it all upward? Or is it all inward? It's all me, God, you know, or you have such passion. It's all outward, you know. So ask yourself, how is your prayer triangle skewed, and what area would you like to work on to strengthen that up, to be balanced? It really matters. Matter of fact, E.M. Bounds, in his message, Power Through the Prayer, a pastor, a writer from the 19th century. And so when he says man, in that century, he means all of us. Understand that? So when you hear him talk about the prayer of man, he said this: what the church needs today is not more machinery or better. If you were to ask, what's the church need today? We have so many books written on that issue. Not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use. Men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men, men of prayer. And I love some of the testimonies you're going to hear as you will hear from some of the women and men that have been strengthened this. So let's put that slide up, upward, inward, outward. So let's begin with upward prayer. And let's look again where we're at. 1 Chronicles 16, and let's look at verse 11. This helps us see what upward prayer is about. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. I want you to notice the word seek. It begins, seek the Lord. And then again, seek his presence continually. This is an upward prayer. So prayer, foremost, is seeking the face of the Lord. So often we seek answers to our prayers more than we seek the presence of the Lord. And I, too, have been guilty of that, all right? So we're all in this together. So my question is, do you meet with the Lord simply to enjoy him, to experience his love? Have you ever had those kind of prayers where you just want to be with him? In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word we see in this verse, and we can keep it up, the verse, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11. In the Old Testament, you see the word presence there. In the Hebrew, that word is also translated face. So you could read this as seek his face continually. When you look into the face of someone, haven't we learned this through in the last 2 years with the pandemic? There's something different meeting face to face. We see this in David as he shares with us, which he wrote this, by the way, this call. He was calling the nation of Israel to prayer. But we see in Psalms 27, verse 7 and 8, we see that word again, and we read this. Hear, O Lord, and he's sharing with us his own prayer. By the way, turn to the Psalms. The psalmist, those aren't just songs to be sung. They're actually what they were praying. And David says, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. We seek his face, and when we do, we enter his presence. And we can, and what does it mean to seek his face? We, in these upward prayers, we seek his face with our praises, with our giving thanks for the things he's done, giving our adoration of who he is and what he's done. We seek his face through our meditations and even in our laments, which is, you know, any of you ever go through a tough, troubling time, or maybe you're in that now, right? Even bringing those troubles to him is our way of seeking his face upwardly. So upward prayers hinge on where our heart seeks its satisfaction. The world will tempt you with lesser joys. Where do you seek your happiness? Where do you seek your joy? But like David, we will find our true satisfaction in the seeking of the Lord in prayer. So back in Chronicles, we read, seek the Lord, but there was more to it, wasn't there? We seek his face, but upward prayers is also seeking the strength of the Lord. Too often we seek his strength before his presence, but that doesn't negate that when we move upward in our prayers, we find the strength we need for him, especially in those difficult times. David in Psalm 27, same psalm. I'm just flipping back and forth between the song he wrote in Chronicles and the prayer he wrote in 27. We read something that was key to David's life, because the context of Psalm 27 is he's in a world of trouble right now. He's having a difficult time. He's distressed. And he even has adversaries that want to mess up his life. And in this time of trouble, David's secret to victory and security in life was one thing. And so we read verses 4 through 5. He says this. Here's David's secret to finding the strength, the security, the success in life. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after. Here it is. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's like contemplation. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. We hear these same words on Jesus' own lips when he describes Mary, who's sitting at his feet while Mary's sister Martha is very distressed and troubled. And he looks to her. And then he looks to Martha and says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Mary understood contemplation, which is just one of the things we learned in our upward prayers. Contemplation is the silent conversation with God that moves us more deeply into our awareness of his presence. When the 12 disciples found themselves in a life-destroying storm, and it could be a metaphor for us sometimes, where we feel like we are in deep trouble, deep waters, Jesus exercised his divine power over the wind and the waves when he said, be still. Peace. Be still. What in your life is like a life-destroying storm and you need some peace and security? Do you hear when you meet with the Lord him speaking over it, peace. Be still. We can trust him. So I close with this. Commit yourself to seek the face of Jesus before answers to your prayers. Enjoy his presence. The places we struggle are the places we are powerless. The places we struggle are the places we are powerless. But if we will move upward in our prayers and praises, we will not only find a deep peace, but we will also find a divine strength to live the full life that Jesus promised us. Amen. So I want to invite, first was testimony. So Lisa, I'd like to invite Lisa up. She's up here already. Never mind. come over here, because this is where the camera will be. We want to get this recorded, so. Oh, it's on. All right. And so what we're doing this morning is we're going to, I gave the message on upward. Jill gave the message on inward. And Lisa, or Sarah will give the message on outward. And each one, we have someone to give a testimony and a prayer to let us see what God's been doing.
Okay, well, when I heard Pastor Craig would be speaking for several months about prayer, I was curious to see what I would glean from the series. So I've been praying as a believer for 40 years. I know it's shocking to
what?
You.
What? No way.
I don't look that old, but...
You're not. Must have started at 1 year old.
But so I wondered, okay, what will I learn from this? You know, that would really change me. And I was pleasantly surprised. As the weeks went by, I realized that I picked up some really precious nuggets and some revelation that definitely impacted my daily prayer life. A couple of those gems were included in one of the messages entitled, Why Pray If God Doesn't Answer? And I've actually carried my notes around from that sermon in my purse, just a reference on occasion. So the first gem was that all my prayer requests should be born from the desire to bring glory to God, not just as a means to an end or to get what I want. Sounds, you know, kind of obvious, but, you know, I've always prayed for things that I believe are in line with God's will, such as the salvation of a loved one, because it's something that God wants too. However, I never framed it primarily in terms of the glory it would bring to God. And it may sound like splitting hairs, since praying that God's will be answered would, of course, ultimately bring him glory. But it is a big deal, as much of our prayers are heard through the intentions of our hearts. So it moves my intent beyond something I want to something that redirects my desires to something that will cause me to focus on God. Another revelation I received that Sunday was that even some of Jesus' own prayers remain unanswered, as Craig mentioned again this morning. And that's in an odd way reassuring. The example that was given was Jesus' prayer that was recorded in John 17. Where he had prayed for unity among the believers. And I never thought about it. Jesus is God. Why wouldn't he be able to just answer his own prayers? But it's interesting because, you know, Jesus knew the timeline of that prayer. He prayed that thousands of years ago, and it's still yet to be fulfilled. But he still prayed it, and it's something that really encourages me and that I can use in discussions with folks that I'm talking to about why God doesn't answer prayer sometimes. And it encourages me personally to remain persistent and patient. And then just another thing that I gained from hearing this series was just to examine the way I pray. I've been struggling to keep my focus on God throughout the day. I've got a really demanding job and start out the day really good. I'm sure you guys can all relate to this. You know, you have these great devotions, you meet with God, and as the day goes on and you get busy and my focus just starts getting to all the problems I have to solve or whatnot, and I just draw upon my own strength to meet those challenges instead of focusing on God and relying on him. And, you know, I start the day by praying, you know, God, please be with me. Just be with me throughout every moment of the day. And I know he's always with us. He's promised to be with us all the time. But I pray it anyway because I just didn't really know how to communicate that. And then one day recently, it just dawned on me, okay, I need to pray that I be with God today, not that he be with me. He is with me. I just need to change my focus. Mm-hmm. Another one of those subtleties that really makes a big difference for me. So, You know, Craig, I certainly didn't believe I was beyond learning something new, but I was really surprised by what I did learn, and I'm really thankful to God that he'll teach us no matter how mature or immature we are, how many years we've known him. We just have to have ears that are willing to hear. So thanks. Mm,
thanks, Lisa. And so to close this upward dimension, Jerry's going to come up and close us with an upward prayer.
Could I have Psalm 145 up? I looked at this psalm, and it's just a psalm of praise, and it speaks about God's attributes and his greatness. Very meditative, so I'd like us to stand, and we'll read, quote, pray this psalm today. So you can pray it aloud to yourself, or you can pray it in your mind. Just pray it along. But it adores God. So let's pray. A song of praise of David, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wonders and works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all of his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen.
All right. So now we're going to talk about inward prayer. But before we do, Kenzie is going to come and tell us a little bit about how this has impacted her. Come on up, Kenzie. On the stage, no less.
I wasn't ready for that.
You can do it. You're good.
Okay.
It's what? 8 inches?
It makes a difference. Okay. And I also just left my notes in my chair, too. So.
Do you need your notes?
I don't know. I'll wing it. Let's see what happens. yeah.
No, I'll have a safety blanket.
I'll keep them there just in case. Yeah. Okay. So I guess going into this prayer series, I was a little nervous. Without going into a lot of detail, I had a lot of negative and I'd say traumatic experiences with prayer, especially corporate prayer. And so I had a lot of skewed ideas of prayer, and it was really hard for me to be in groups that were praying. But I knew that God wanted to redeem my ideas of prayer, and this prayer series was coming at a really good time, and I just felt like this was a good place to kind of start processing those things. And so I joined the life group that was here, and even though I wasn't always the first one to share or pray out loud, just being in a safe group and hearing other people pray, and it was just replacing the things, the lies that I had heard, and it just helped me experience God in a greater way, hearing from the people in the group and hearing their prayers. It was just redeeming that experience for me. And there was one life group in particular where the men's group and the women's group came together to pray. And during that time, they all came together and prayed for me. And some people in the group knew my experience with prayer, but most didn't. And just the pictures people were getting for me and the prophetic words and just the safety of that group was something that I hadn't felt like that before. And so when Jill asked me to share a couple weeks ago, that's kind of what I had planned to say. But God was not done with what he wanted to teach me. And so in the last couple weeks, I'd say I was going through a very intense spiritual battle where I just felt like I was being condemned and bombarded from every side, and it was constant. And after a couple days of this, just constant, I mean, I felt like I was being tormented. I reached out to people to pray for me, and so people started sending me words of encouragement or praying for me. And during that time, I was getting the image of, you know, in Exodus, when there's, it's like Amalek and Israel are fighting, and Moses goes on top of the hill, and when his arms are raised, Israel, like, prevails, and when his arms are down, Amalek, I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Just say it like you mean it. Nobody knows.
Perfect. and that's how it felt like. Oh, and then when he got tired, when Moses got tired, he had Aaron and her. He like sat him down and held his arms up for him, and because of that, Israel ended up winning that battle. And that's what those couple weeks felt like for me, was that when I got tired, I asked for prayer and people held my arms up until the battle was over. And because of that, I can say, this is exciting, for the first time, like, I feel like I have victory in an area of my life that I've never had victory in before, and I didn't know I could have victory in. I'm saying that very composed, but I'm really freaking out inside. It's been a really big week for me. I've never felt freedom like this before. And I didn't think of how to close this, and so I should just stop before I cry. Thanks, Jill. Yeah, I guess
beautiful.
Just prayer is powerful, and we need each other too.
Yes.
Yeah. The end.
Yeah. Well done. Thank you, Kenzie. That's awesome. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. You know, I think when we stick around in community and have the belief that, you know, God will help us, he does. Eventually, he comes through. And I know it's been a hard battle, but it's awesome to hear God coming through. So inward prayer. Notes are upside down. I do need my notes. So inward prayer is really a vital part of our prayer triangle, because if we didn't have inward prayer, we'd worship God, right? We'd have the upward, and then which side's the outward? Is the outward over here? Yeah, the outward's over here. So we'd have the upward and the outward, but we wouldn't have that personal part of our relationship with God. And God is with us all the time, right? He's with us in every area of our lives. He's thrilled with life when we're thrilled, when life's going well. He weeps with us when we weep. He's with us when we succeed. He's with us when we fail. He's with us in our highs and lows and our hopes and fears, our dreams and disappointments, and what Aaron and Kim used to call with the youth group, the happies and the crappies, right? He's with us in it all. And he doesn't just want to be with us as a silent observer. He really wants us to be aware of his presence with us as a trusted guide and a friend and confidant, as well as Lord.
He wants to help us. He wants to guide us and teach us, and he wants to transform us and make us more like Jesus because he loves us and he wants the very best for our lives. So inward prayer is a little bit like taking an apprenticeship, right? You can learn just so much from a book or from Google. You can learn things like how to open a bank account or how to roof a house. Craig literally roofed our old house with the sun. It was pre-internet. Sunset Guide to Roofing. I got it from the library. He's up there. How do I do this, Valley? But it never leaked, so I guess it worked. You can learn how to bath a baby from a book because that was my first baby. I had no idea how to bath a baby. I had a book open on the counter. You can do that, right? But there's some things that you can only teach by having a master come alongside you. I think things like nursing and physical therapy and fine woodworking or pottery. You know, John Hunter, who we've seen do pottery demonstrations even up here and preach while he does it. He spent years with a master potter learning how to do it. You can learn certain theory from a book, but you have to come alongside somebody and watch and practice and learn the tricks of the trade and some of the nuances and some of the things that you can only learn by a lot of experience and a lot of practice, right? Well, we may be able to survive through life by learning about God, by reading the Bible, but we only come really fully alive when we enter into our apprenticeship with Jesus through inward prayer. So inward prayer is just vital to that process of God's Spirit molding and transforming us and making us more like Jesus. And Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. This is the inward part of the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 6, 11 and 12, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, right? So inward prayer is asking for our need. Give us this day, right? So what do we need? What do we need, guys? Food? You hungry? Yes, we need food and shelter and clothing. What else? Love. Thank you. Yes. Come on, guys. We want to do more than exist, right? There's a lot of things we need. We need safety and security, right? That's why our granddaughter wants to be held right now because she's not used to being just around here without mommy and daddy. But we don't lose that as we grow older in different ways. We still need safety and security. We need love and belonging. We need respect. We need someone to believe in us and encourage us. We need health and wisdom and abilities and gifts. And we need a sense of purpose and hope, don't we? God cares about your needs. He made us with needs and he wants us to ask for what we need. So when we ask for what we need, we're just being honest. Honest that however much we try to be independent and self-sufficient, we're not. Even the things that we think we provide for ourselves are really a gift from God. It's humbling, isn't it? It's humbling to be needy. But it's good. It's good to be humbled. Asking for what we need may feel selfish, but it's not selfish at all. It's true humility to admit that we have needs and to ask God to meet them. And it's also not selfish because, remember, we're asking for what we need. What does the Lord's Prayer, does it say, give me this day my daily bread? No, it's give us, right? Give us this day our daily bread. So we aren't just asking for ourselves. We're asking for our immediate family. We're asking for our roommates if we have them. We're asking for our church community or whatever your immediate community is. It forces us to consider how would God want to bless us, not just me. And even if what I'm asking for then might not feel that great for me, but I know it'll be a blessing for us. It forces us to think a little bigger, and it keeps us from being selfish. But there's another important need that we need to ask for in inward prayer, isn't there? And that's our need for forgiveness. We all need forgiveness. We all fall short of the glory of God. That's what Romans 3:23 tells us. And sometimes asking for what we need actually highlights our need for forgiveness. Because when we're being honest with God, we might start to realize, oh, yeah, my motivation for asking that, it's really kind of selfish, kind of full of pride, right? Oh, maybe I'm a little off in what I'm asking there. So as we enter into that process with God, kind of that apprenticeship, we start wrestling with him. And we realize, oh, I need to ask for forgiveness at the same time. We're giving him permission to speak into our lives when we bring him our needs in an honest way. So sometimes he convicts us of sin, and as we confess it, he forgives us and washes us clean. He transforms us and sets us free. And he takes our ugly motives and he fills us with the fruit of the Spirit that Galatians talks about, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control instead. And he encourages us and cheers us on when what we're asking is really in alignment with what he would want us to ask. So let's not neglect inward prayer. With the psalmist, let's bring our needs before God and have that conversation with him. Psalm 40 verse 17 says, "As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." And Psalm 139 verses 23 to 24 says, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So let's say together those verses from the Lord's Prayer, the inward prayer.
We have that on screen. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors."
Amen. Okay, Kate's going to come and pray for us for inward prayer.
You're a big girl. You can stand up here by yourself.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to listen and pray. God, we really want to reflect your character. We really want to walk in your ways. We really want to be the salt and light of this world. So God, we invite you to show us where we have room to look more like you. We invite you to guide us as individuals and as a church. We invite you to speak into our lives, to invite us in very tangible step-by-step ways of how to be closer with you, how we can draw closer to you. Because like Lisa said, you're always there. We want to be more and more aware of your presence, more and more aware of what you're doing in our lives, aware of what the enemy is doing so we can shoot him down. Because we don't have to take it. So God, we thank you for your invitation that is always there. You're always there. You're always inviting us and drawing us closer. So God, help us to respond in those ways. Help us to be aware of what you're doing in us as individuals and as a community. Amen.
I love this stuff. It's the best. I love when I can hook my microphone on. Okay, we're just going to do this. Good morning. I've loved how our sermon series has given us ways to connect with our church vision, right? So love God is the upward prayer. Love one another can be the inward, where we come alongside each other, like Kenzie testified to. And go bless others is connecting to the outward prayer. So we're going to talk a little bit about upward prayers as we end this part of the morning. What did I say? Oh, apparently I'm all about upward, but really I'm outward.
Just for the moment.
I love that song. There's something about that beat that just, it's good. So we are really going to talk about outward prayers. So there are three steps that we're going to talk quickly about today. Craig mentioned this when he spoke on this, about praying for Bob. And we have a Bob. So some of us were like, what? But it's just a quick little acronym that we can kind of hold on to as we're thinking about outward prayers. So we're going to talk about praying for a burden. We're going to talk about looking for opportunities to go bless others. And we're going to talk about praying that Christ fills us up with his Holy Spirit so that we can be emboldened to go and be bold. So we're going to talk about the first step, praying for a burden. So a burden is something that feels kind of heavy, like there's something there, it just keeps coming up, we can't really kind of get rid of it. It is something that sometimes God puts on us. And he puts those burdens on us because that thing he places on us, he cares about it. And he wants us to partner with him in prayer. The elders and the ministry leaders met last spring, I think. And several of us sensed a specific passage as we were quiet and we prayed and asked God to speak to us. And it was Luke 10:2. And Jesus said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into his harvest." And as a group, as we sat with this, the elders really sensed God kind of placing a burden on us as a church to go and live this out. They sensed that God really wanted us to be intentional about praying for harvest and about becoming the laborers for that. Because more than anything, God cares about souls. And we're not looking at harvesting numbers for the sake of numbers. We're looking to harvest souls because he cares about those souls. Before we go out to harvest, though, we have to talk about, or before we go out to labor, we have to talk about that burden. And Jesus did place it as a burden on us as a church, but it's not just the ministry leaders, it's not just the elders, it's for all of us. And I just want to, I guess, ask a question that Scott asked us at one of our ministry leaders meetings a long time ago, and it's just always stuck with me. How much do you care about those that don't know you, that don't know Jesus yet? I hate to call it the lost because it just makes it seem like we've got it all together and they don't. So I like to phrase it, those who don't know Jesus yet as their Savior. How much do you care about that? And I think for some of us, when Scott asked that question, myself included, I got a little convicted. So, if you think about that, would you partner with Jesus? Would you partner with us as a church? And I just want to pray that God will place a heavier burden on us for those that don't know Jesus yet, because he cares about it. So let's bow our heads. Jesus, this is the thing that you probably care most about, because you love so perfectly and you love so well. And God, you just want everybody to be in relationship with you. So I ask Jesus, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to literally let us feel that burden coming on us today. We want to be a church that responds to that burden. And I ask Jesus, who is one person that you want us to start committing to praying for today? Would you place that name, that person on us, and allow us to partner with you and labor with you for their soul? In Jesus' name, amen. So the second thing we're going to look at is looking for opportunities to go and bless others with the gospel message. If you've put your faith in Jesus, Jesus is sending you out in the world to share his message of life. He wants us to share that message of blessing, of relationship. That's ultimately what it means to go bless others. John 20:21 says that Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Jesus was sent, and he is sending us too. It's not just the special missionaries that go into foreign soil. It is every single one of us. We all have places that are considered our mission fields. And we just kind of have to start looking for, in those spaces, where are the opportunities arising? The soil, anywhere you put your feet, that's your mission field, right? It could be work. It can be school. It can be your neighborhood. It can be friends. It can be families. Anywhere you place your foot, you can consider that your soil. And we can start to look for opportunities to share the gospel. And then we can be bold. Some of us may not feel super comfortable sharing the gospel message, so I printed off some of these handouts, and they're on the information table. Feel free to just grab one and start to kind of look through that. That'll give you some handles on how to share the gospel message for people that might not have put their faith in Jesus yet. But we can start to pay attention to the conversations we have with people. We can start asking questions to get them talking about their faith. I don't know that we so much have to preach, but I think we need to just ask questions and let the Holy Spirit kind of bring those things out and then look for opportunities to drop things like peace and hope and faith, those things that Jesus brings. And a lot of times they may just look at you and say, wow, Rachel, there is something different about you. What is it that you have that I don't have? And then that's an open door to start speaking the name of Jesus and sharing your faith. Most people, if they don't have faith in Jesus, they're going to have those places where they feel hopeless and they're not going to have peace. That is who Jesus is. That's what he brings. We can love and serve those people so that they see something different in us. So we can commit to laboring with God in very specific, tangible ways that can really bless them. We can be ready to answer any questions that somebody asks us about our faith and to not hide from it and to be bold. The last thing I want to talk about is if we've got the burden and if we're looking for opportunities, we have to pray for boldness to be able to speak. John 20:22 says, and when they had said this, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. We need to receive the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's going to give us the words to speak. He's the one that's going to create a boldness in us. He's going to be the one that even asks us the questions to ask people. So when Kate's like, I just want to sit here and listen, that's what it's about. It's receiving the Holy Spirit, letting him give you the direction, the strategy to work in the field with him. He is the one that empowers our voices, right? Use your voices, people. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, ask Kate. He is the one that emboldens us to share the gospel and teaches us how to share it with each specific person. And he's the one that helps us harvest the souls. We don't go into the harvest field alone. He labors with us. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be timid. We pray for a burden. We look for opportunities. And we receive the Holy Spirit. And that's how we go and bless others. So let's just pray really quick. And then I want to invite Eric to come up and share a little bit. So Jesus, we just thank you that you are the one that does all this work. But God, we don't want to take for granted that you want us to labor with you. And God, we want to be laborers that are willing to go out into the field and harvest with you. So we've asked for the burden. God, I ask that you would open our eyes to see opportunities in a new way as we connect with people and as we have conversations. And Jesus, I ask that you would pour out your Spirit on us right now and that we would literally receive it and breathe it in. Because that's how you want us to live. In Jesus' name. So Eric's going to come up. I am a woman of shortcuts sometimes, so I just thought, oh, I'll just have Eric do the testimony and the prayer. Eric.
Thank you. This series on prayer has been interesting. I haven't been praying for 40 years, even though I'm a lot older than you, for sure. Yeah, anyway. But, you know, I grew up in the house of a pastor, and we were a charismatic church, and in the Pentecostal charismatic tradition, there's a lot of emphasis on prayer and just different. It's just a different experience. Maybe some of you can relate to that. But, and so prayer for me has always been very much a part of my life, even though at times I haven't always had the same sense of understanding or revelation of what's actually going on, what's happening, and the different sort of ways that we approach God. And kind of this triangle is helpful, inward, outward, upward, and all of that. For me, it's easy to pray for other people. It's easy to pray for the lost. It's easy to pray for the nations, those who don't know Christ. It's not really easy to pray about me because it's like, it's just not about me. Just Christianity, it's not Ericanity, it's Christ. It's Christianity. But at the same time, though, God is interested in me, and he's interested in my life, and he's interested in hearing those little things that, you know, I think are silly and insignificant. I'll just suck it up, get over it. No, he's saying, I'm right here, and I'll take care of that for you, but you have to let me do that. And so this series has reminded me of that, that there is a legitimacy to taking time to pray for myself and just be humble and allow God to work in my life in certain areas and, you know, take that time, whether it's out of a place of devotion or just a realization of need, and allow God to have his way. It was also a lot, some of these Sunday lessons have served as a great reminder. Intercession, you know, we're in a season right now where we're transitioning back from, you know, 15 years overseas, and this isn't the America that we knew when we left, and this is a lot of first time for my kids, and you know, that reality has hit us hard in the face, especially over the last few months. And I've relied on the prayers of a lot of people to help us. I'm real quick to send out something, hey, this is going on, help. And fortunately, God has sent people into our lives throughout the world. People in India are praying for us. People in Indonesia, in Taiwan, Sun Prairie, I mean, they're praying for us and with us. And we've seen the fruit of that in our lives, and we're believing for even more fruit. And my father taught me to always pray scripture. You know, prayer is one of those things that's hard to do sometimes because it's like, well, what do I say? Well, there's never a lack of things to say when you look through scripture. You pray scripture. And, you know, you read through the Psalms, and a lot of those are prayer and praise. You read through the letters of Paul, which we're going to do here in a minute. And, I mean, he wrote most of the New Testament, and without exception, all of his letters have some sort of prayer or some sort of, hey, say this, pray this. My prayer for you is this, encouraging people. And so there's never a lack of things. And so I really appreciated when that was taught here today, or not today, but taught here through this series, praying scripture, praying it back. Because if we believe scripture is the word of God and the word of God is speaking to us, that scripture could contain anything, but yet it contains this. And what's in there is what God wants us to read and pray and meditate on and to know. And so that was a real encouragement for me as well. And so what I want to do today is pray through different passages through from Paul's letters. They really speak to me. I mean, obviously, Jesus is God's plan for humanity. So I'm not going to say Paul and then Jesus. Obviously, Jesus and his words and what we see in the New Testament is of incredible value to us, and we need to focus and meditate on those. But what I appreciate from Paul is that he just got it. He just understood that his life is nothing except Jesus, that he has no value or anything left to give to this world but Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He's an ambassador for Christ, as if God was speaking through him. So he understood it's not about him, but it's about Jesus speaking through him and empowering him. That he'd rather forsake spending eternity in the presence of God forever if it means bringing one more person to the Lord. I mean, Paul, he understood, he had the proper kingdom perspective of this life. And so when he's writing his letters and when he's encouraging the new church, he could have said anything about anything because it was brand new. But yet his prayers have a certain content and a certain ring to them and a certain theme to them. And I think it's just as relevant for us today as it was 2,000 years ago when the church was just starting out. And Paul understood that a healthy church means a healthy world. A healthy church means one that is going to be a light in the darkness, going to be a salt on the earth. There are people today in this world that have never heard the name of Jesus. Can you imagine that? They've never even heard the name of Jesus. Never. Ever. with all the technology, with everything that, we can go to Everest and make a call on the sat phone to somebody, but yet people haven't heard of Jesus. And so these prayers for me stir my heart and hopefully stir the church up to be outward focused and to take seriously the commission that we have to live as ambassadors for the name of Christ and to bring people to the Lord. So sorry I'm preaching, but let's pray. I'm just going to read these out over the church, and with the idea that as God's doing his work in the church, our hearts would be stirred to be outward focused. Paul says in Romans, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart, is preaching the gospel of his Son to come to you. Be joyful, be patient in affliction, be faithful in prayer. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give us the spirit of unity among ourselves as we follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the God of hope fill you, fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Many times Paul says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with us." Father, we ask for the grace of the Lord Jesus to be with us. The Lord be with our spirit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with our spirit. God, we ask that because you have blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, you've chosen us in him before the creation of the world to be your holy and blameless in your sight. In love, you predestined us to be adopted as your sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with your pleasure and your will to the praise of your glorious name, that we may have redemption through your blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of the grace that you lavished upon us. Father, I pray that we would grow in the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that you would burden us with the things that are dear to your heart, Lord, that you would remove the things, the obstacles that stand in the way of us clearly hearing your voice and going and fulfilling your plans and purposes for our lives. Lord, thank you for your spirit, which empowers us, emboldens us, enables us, and equips us to speak the word of God with boldness as we ought to. Lord, I pray that you would remove strongholds in our lives, in the church, us as individuals, but the church corporately, that would hinder us from being bold in our witness. Lord, send us. Send us to the nations. Send us to our workplaces. Send us to the places in the world where no one has ever heard before. Partner us, Lord God, with people who are out there doing the work, Lord God, that we may really, truly stand in unity with one another, a unity of purpose, a singleness of mind and heart that is informed by your spirit, tied together through the work of your spirit. Lord, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Raise up workers, Lord, to go into the harvest field. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that will speak through us, gives us the words to say, gives us the power to speak your word with boldness. Lord, break our hearts for the lost. Break our hearts for those who don't know you yet, who don't have the opportunity to even know your name, that we would go to them, Lord. Help us to prioritize things in our lives so that, Lord, we can be more effective and more useful for the kingdom of God. Do your work in our hearts to transform us, to be more like you. And as a result, when people see us, they will see Jesus, and they will know you in your death and your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I wanted to close this morning with one last testimony, and it's a testimony of what happens. I realized while Sarah was teaching us again about praying for Bob, burden, opportunity, and boldness. And so got to know a young man, and he started coming to this church, Kyle. And Kyle's here with his parents, Matt and Denise. And so they live in Janesville, and Kyle's going to college here. Joined us, and we got to get to know him, and just kind of made the assumption that this young man's a Christian and he just needed to find a church while living here and then in a lunch or something. I forgot where it was, like, oh, he doesn't. He's never invited Jesus in his life, and he became a burden. And so it's just kind of neat as you're talking, sir. It's like, yeah, this is how this works. He became a burden on my heart. Jill was going to be preaching a message that coming Sunday on saying please and forgive me in our prayers. So next one is opportunity. Well, I was going to be doing the communion, leading the communion that morning. And normally it's short, you know, and we meet with Christ at the Lord's table and commune with him with the elements of the juice and the bread. But God put on my heart, share the gospel message. And I don't normally share the whole message in the communion. And I was praying for Kyle here. And it took a little boldness to kind of change things up, but I did. It doesn't take too much boldness for me in that area. The burden's the one I have to pray for. Once I have the burden, the boldness, not too hard. So, Kyle, if you want to come on up. And what happened was, as I shared the gospel, I said, any have never invited Jesus into their heart, raise your hands. Bow your heads. And Kyle raised his hands, was one of the people that raised his hands. He didn't look like this when he came up. And I thought it would be a wheelchair this morning, but it's like he's got only one hand on that side to use, and then he has to bounce, and he with one foot. And so why don't you tell them, so I want you to capture the sequence. So this is why outward prayers and a burden for, as Jesus called them, the lost, for those, the unbelievers who are not yet believers is even a better way. Because it matters. So he invited Jesus into his heart, and I got to pray with him afterward, and it was so exciting. And then it's just a couple weeks after that. I was going to hold it. Can you do that?
Yeah, I can hold it.
Can you stand on one leg?
Yeah, I can. Right.
Well, don't, please. So tell us what happened.
Well, I was in a motorcycle accident. about a month ago almost.
And where were you? What highway was it?
It was northbound 151.
And how fast are you driving?
I was doing about 70, 80
miles
an hour.
Which was the speed limit.
Yeah. I was following the flow of traffic, so that was probably a little bit faster than the speed limit, actually.
All right. Yeah. And then what happened?
The motorcycle just went into death wobble. If anybody's on a bicycle, they probably are a little familiar. If you had a bumper on, your bike kind of shimmies underneath you.
You're a daredevil, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you're at a motorcycle, kind of have to be.
Yeah, and so it oscillated and it spilled on you.
Yeah, usually you recover from that, but this time it didn't, and it threw me on the ground at about 70 miles an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, and if anybody's familiar with 151, it can be pretty busy at times, and luckily no one hit me.
Yeah.
And there was actually two nurses, a couple cars behind me that actually kind of helped me deal with the pain because I was, when you break a leg, it's not exactly pain-free.
And I have his x-ray on my phone, and it's not just a little break.
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
It's multiple shatters. And so I hope you hear, God ordained a couple nurses to be there.
Yep.
And how a car didn't, because there's no way a car could have stopped in time.
Yeah.
If you were thrown in front of the car.
Yep.
And so this is what we call a miracle in the church. And I'm a little teared up because this should be every believer's burden, that you can't put off the opportunity when it presents itself because you don't know what next week will be for somebody. That it's a choice between heaven and hell, and we want heaven for everybody like God does. So now here's kind of, sorry about that. And you hold, and I'll hold the mic, and this is the behind-the-scenes story.
Well, it's a bit of, kind of a little bit of my life story, actually, probably a lot about my life story. All right, this is how I found God. When I was born, God gave me a gift. He gave me the gift of autism. Growing up, I didn't see it that way, though. Because of it, I was treated differently, had anger issues, anxiety, and depression. Despite them, I've grown and learned to deal with them, but not with help from my parents and my stepmom. They helped me through all of it. Growing up, I was agnostic and later became an atheist because how could a loving God give me severe anxiety and depression? Little did I know he was with me the entire time, giving me battles so I can come out a much stronger man. It wasn't until recently that I truly learned about him. I was a groomsman at my stepbrother Anthony's wedding. Seeing the power of God in the relationship moved me. They had many trials in the relationship, but their faith carried them through. My dad and stepmom invited me to help with their church's community outreach events. I helped them prep lawnmowers and snowblowers for the season and prepping cars for the winter. I found that Christians are some of the nicest people, and I had a good time.
Yeah. Good time.
After a friend's wedding, Anthony asked if I wanted to learn about God, and I said yes. Things started to change for the better after that. He recommended me to read Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, which, if you guys haven't read that, I would highly recommend it, which opened up the door for me. He then helped me find his church, and I suddenly found people that supported me that wasn't just my family. It's been an amazing, 4 months? I've never been good with finding friends, but I've made a lot with this church. Thanks to my parents and Anthony, I found God. And now if the door open, he can truly make me a better man. He's helping me with my goal of becoming financially independent, pushing me to complete school, helping me to be more truthful, and helping me in ways that I won't notice until later in life. Without him, I would still be struggling with life and going nowhere, but he has given me direction, is making me the best man I can be. Thank you, God.
Amen. Yeah. This is the power of the person we pray to, Jesus Christ. Let's stand with closing worship, and you, young man, need to get seated down here. And he's not getting